Him high. God, we praise you. God, we exalt you. God, we honor you in this place.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus.
You know, there will be a day when earth will pass away and we are going to be in his presence for eternity. And forever he will be lifted high. And I don't believe that God is interested or at that time that God's going to be looking for people going, yeah, you're pretty good, God. Forever he's lifted high. Forever he. And I'm not picking on anybody because we all do it. We all get in the mindset that forever. But there really is coming a time where we really will enter into the presence of the Almighty God. And we're going to get to a place to worship him, to enter into his throne room. So before we get there, I say we just take another few seconds and let's willingly, not what we're forced to, but while we still have the choice, while we still have bills, while we still have sickness, he is still on the throne. He is still lifted high. He is still worthy of praise. Come on, if we can praise him in heaven, we should be able to praise him on earth right now. We should be able to lift him up. We should be able to offer praise willingly out of the troubles we're in, out of the trials we face. We should be able to lift him up. Amen. Amen. Brother Tom mentioned it this morning. He said it a couple times, but we're here, and I don't want to miss an opportunity to get what God has for me. I don't want to take a Sunday off. I'll take a Monday off. I'll give a Tuesday my 75% effort, but a Sunday, I want to give 110% because I'm worshiping God today. Amen. 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 Good to be here. We have a few announcements for the week. Tonight we will have prayer here at 6 p.m. You are all invited to come and continue to pray in the presence of the Almighty God. Next Sunday, the 22nd, we are going to have a Christmas service here. You are all invited, and so is your neighbor, so is your cousin, so is that guy that you don't even really like. He's actually invited too. We want him here. We're going to do things a little differently that service at 10 a.m. instead of having an adult Sunday school up here and instead of having Sunday school for the kids downstairs. We all will be downstairs. We'll have a time of fellowship, Sister Connie is going to be making coffee cake. I heard there was discussion of, but we'll have some refreshments. We'll have a time of fellowship. It's an opportunity to get connected with each other. Sometimes we come in late. We have to leave. We have plans. We have stuff going on. We just want to all be together fellowshipping, and everyone is invited. So please invite somebody for that service. And then for our main service at 11, we're going to have a very Christmas-themed service because it is the last service before Christmas. Our children will be singing some of their songs from their Christmas program. We'll be doing some carols, some congregationals, I think is the right word. If not, we're going to go with that. But it's just going to be a great time to celebrate the reason for the season. And we want this to be an opportunity for you to invite somebody. So do that this week. Bring them here. People are always going to go to church for Easter and Christmas. Just you'd be surprised who just feels like they need to be in church. And if they're going to be in any church, why not in a church that preaches truth? Amen. 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 So invite somebody to that. We have a special video that we're about to show. You may be seated. We're going to show this special video about Christmas for Christ.
So
Christmas for Christ is a program and an offering that is taken annually right around Christmas time by the United Pentecostal Church, and it goes towards, as if you couldn't tell, planting churches in North America. There are thousands in, as you know, thousands of cities that don't have a Pentecostal voice, an apostolic message, the truth going forward. And so we at First Apostolic Church, you at First Apostolic Church, I should say, before my wife and I came, have been giving faithfully to this. And so next Sunday is the offering date. And so we are going to be taking up an offering. We're not asking you to go in debt. We're not asking you to clear out your bank account. We're not asking you to do anything like that. But we are asking. We are going to take up a special offering. And this is an opportunity for you to participate and give towards seeing somebody like Camilla and her husband Jeremy, who never would have had the opportunity to hear the word spoken to them. It's giving to them. It's giving to spread the kingdom. It will not affect this church financially. We won't see any of the funds. We won't see new carpet from those funds. We won't see a new van. We won't see a new stairs put in. There are needs that we have, and I understand those needs. But there are real needs. There are real souls that need saving. There are real people that need to see a church planted in their city. And so we are going to give, and I believe that God will take whatever we give, whatever you give, but whatever you give, it may be something small to you, but to somebody else, it's a big, big, big thing. And I believe God will honor, God will bless us, and maybe not through that offering will we get new carpet, but God will work out another way because of our giving, because we're willing to give to the kingdom of God, and we're willing to spread the gospel and give financially. So next Sunday, we will be taking up that offering. So we ask you this week, think about it. If you have any extra coins, if you've been putting something aside, I think the greatest gift you could give, if you're planning on getting me a sweater for Christmas, please don't. I got enough sweaters, thank you. Or a festive suit or suit coat that maybe have going around social media, I'm okay on that department as well. I'll just wear this. I'll be okay. But thank you. You're very generous. But just give whatever that could be. If it's one less gift for a loved one, if it's one less gift for yourself, I think it would go a long way to spreading the kingdom of God, and that's the most important thing. So we're going to participate in that. If our ushers could get ready to take up today's tithe and offering. I love to know that we are connected. We've never met those people. I've never met those people. The chances are I probably never will meet those people. But yet I believe they are my brother. They are my sister. We pray for them. We encourage each other. Amen. What a blessing to be a part of the kingdom and the family of God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Brother Mike, would you pray over today's tithe and offering?
Thank you.
Take a moment and let's pray over these that are in our lost loved ones jar. Let's lift them up. I know I missed it last Sunday and I apologize for that. With everything else going on, I missed it. But today I want to make sure that we make a pointed effort to lift up those that are in this jar, those that are hurting, those that are lost. Come on, let's just all over this place. Let's take these names before the Lord and ask God to reach. Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd reach. I pray that you'd touch, God. Lord, that you'd come and meet these needs. God, Lord, touch, do whatever you need to do. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to reach. Encourage us. Encourage these parents right now. God, encourage these grandparents right now. God, encourage these children right now. Lord, that they would continue to pray and continue to believe, that you see them, that you're reaching to them. God, we lift them up, God, wherever they may be at, Jesus, God, reach to them right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We can turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 33. And as you're turning there, I want to say it's good to see my friend Ray here today with us. Ray, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We'll be praying for Kim. We want to make sure we continue to pray for Kim. She's not feeling well today, and she can't be with us here today, but we will be praying for her and for you, Ray. It's good to see you here. Also, always good to see Brother Jim and Sister Heather. If you ever just need a smile, just look at them. Their smile, just Brother Jim gives you that big smile. It's so good to see you guys. Good to be in church with all of you. Faith. So good to see you, Faith, as you did a handshake with Sadie. Sorry to disrupt that, but good to see Faith. Just good to be here today. The book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I want to speak to us for a few moments today. Of him, through him, and to him. You can put your Bibles down and let's lift up our hands and let's ask God to do what he desires to do in this place. Holy Father, God, I pray, Lord, that there's something moving here. God, we feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray you'd push through whatever hindrances there may be here. God, I pray you'd bind every spirit that would try and come up against us. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost would go forward. Do what you're desiring to do, God. I pray that your word would go forth. Anoint me, Jesus. Work through me, God, through the foolishness of preaching. I pray that you would prick somebody's heart in this place today. God, not my words, but thy words, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you had the chance to be in here for the first service, you heard Brother Tom get a little science-y and talk about Aristotle and a few laws for a second. So I apologize if I'm piggybacking off a science for a moment, but this is specifically for Brother Alex. I told you last night you'd get at least 5 minutes out of the sermon. So this first 5 minutes is for Brother Alex. We're going to go back to physics class in high school, so I pray nobody nods off for a second. But have your pens and papers ready. There will be a test afterwards upon this. But for the first few moments today, I want to talk to us about the law of conservation of mass. All right. Amen. We could stand. Altar's open. But today's lesson is on the scientific law of the law of conservation of mass. And I'm sure most of you already probably could repeat this verbatim, but I'll say it for those that don't. But the law of conservation of mass states that mass in an isolated system is neither created nor destroyed by chemical reactions or physical transformations. You guys are all nodding like, yeah, we know that. Pretty basic. According to the law of conservation of mass, the mass of the products in a chemical reaction must equal the mass of the reactants. And again, it's like, yeah, basic stuff. We learned this in physics and quantum physics in college. No big deal. But what it states in somewhat simpler terms is that anything that has mass, including matter and energy, cannot be created or destroyed. If you took a candle and lit a candle, and the wax melted, and you have a candle that's 12 inches, and you let it run all the way down to where there's nothing left but a puddle of wax afterwards, I would look at it and say, well, you know, we've lost mass. You know, the candle has melted away. But science would say, no, it's just transferred energy. What was a candle wax is now a gas, and it's now smoke, and it's now vapor, and it's now in the air. We can't see it. But that doesn't mean that it disappeared and disintegrated. All that happened was transferred energy. If I cut this podium down, if I threw it through a wood chipper and just destroyed it, you would say, well, it's destroyed, it's all gone, it's disappeared. No, the law of conservation of mass would say that actually it's just transferred its mass into little bits of sawdust or little chunks. And so they would say that in the most simplest terms, so nobody dozes off during science, but the law states you cannot create something out of nothing, and you can't turn something into nothing. You can only transfer things, is what the law of conservation of mass states. And I'm going to go in depth one step further, so just buckle up. We're getting nerdy just a little bit more, and then we'll come through it. Alex is saying amen. Keep going. But science states that something can't come from nothing. And it's what physicists and scientists have argued over for since Aristotle, since Plato, since Einstein. Where do we come from? How do we exist here today? Where did we come from? And some scientists, they believe that the universe before time, before we existed billions and trillions of years ago, there's nothing but tiny microscopic, less than microscopic photons that were just going around, and they were causing photon bubbles, they called it. And finally, these photon bubbles bumped into one another, and they had a reaction, and that jump-started the Big Bang. It was photon bubbles. I know that most of you are like, yeah, we understand photon bubbles. We get it. We learned about that in like fourth grade. It's no big deal. But there's other scientists, they didn't teach that in Indiana. You guys in Illinois were further advanced than me. There's other scientists that say before everything was created, we live in a three-dimensional world. We have height, depth, and width. But before that, there was actually seven dimensions. And these seven dimensions, which the scientists don't know what those other four dimensions were, but they haven't narrowed down. There were seven dimensions, and they can't even describe what the other dimensions were. They just know that there were seven dimensions, and somehow those seven dimensions collapsed upon themselves to form three dimensions. And when that happened, that kick-started the Big Bang, and that started everything. But even other scientists, only one more grouping of scientists, and then I'll move on. But even other scientists still believe other theories so in-depth that I couldn't even summarize them as succinctly as I've summarized these, as so you guys can pass the test later on. So I just pulled up a few sentences from an article titled online, Three Theories That Might Blow Up the Big Bang. Talk about, I mean, a strong headline. It could blow up the Big Bang, maybe. I don't know. Three of them. We'll see. But this is what one part of the article says. It says, the one-way progression of time, now pay attention, there will be a test. The one-way progression of time, always into the future, is one of the greatest enigmas in physics. The equations governing individual objects do not care about time's direction. Imagine a movie of two billiard balls colliding. There's no way to say if the movie is being run forward or backward. But if you gather a zillion atoms together in something like a balloon, past and future look very different. Pop the balloon, and the air molecules inside quickly fill the entire space. They never race backward to reinflate the balloon. Duh. Right? All of this science, all of this physics, all of the argument and the discussion that they've come up with, and this is the best that they can come up with. And to all that science and theory, I only have one response. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's the only response I have to what they say science says. While the law that the scientists have perfected over years may adhere to our physical world, that law does not apply to the creator of that law. That law does not apply to the creator of the universe. The Alpha and Omega is not limited by upon what Albert Einstein says. Which was, which is to come, didn't have to stop and ask for help or try and figure out which photons to collide whenever he hung the stars in the sky. God is in control and everything is of God. Everything we see is of God. Everything we experience is of God. Everything we see is of God. Consider all of creation. Consider how you create something. If you're going to paint a beautiful painting, you cannot do that without paint. You need paint for a painting. If you're going to build a beautiful church such as this one, you must have brick and mortar and glass and wood and steel. If you're ever going to create something, you have to have material to do it, but not for our God. My God is not bound by the limitations that this physical world would try and place upon him. Acts 17 says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. This world has tried so hard, science has tried so hard to figure out what God spoke or what Paul spoke in just a few words in Colossians. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By God all things consist. Of God you exist. We are all of God. We are not some random accident, some random mistake that happened a billion, trillion, however many zeros you want to add on years ago. But we are made by a perfect design by a creator. And he had a perfect plan, and each and every one of us are of God. No one has been his counselor. God has never stopped and asked for your opinion and your help. God is the giver of information. He has never been the receiver of information. You've never told him anything he doesn't already know. He doesn't need you to tell him how bad your situation is. He's aware of what you're up against. He's aware of what you're facing. He is the creator of the universe, and he spoke you into existence. At the very words, he spoke light. I mean, I know it's just words. I know it's just words that I'm up here harping into a microphone that I'm just saying. And I know we heard Genesis 1 and 1. We know he spoke earth into existence. What does that mean to us? I mean, we can't speak anything into existence. The only thing I can speak into existence is an argument with my wife. That's the only thing I can create with my words. I can't speak anything into existence, but God really did. If we believe that he died for us on the cross, then we also believe that he spoke earth into existence. If we really believe, if we don't, why are we even coming to church? What's the point of coming here on a Sunday if we don't believe that God's on the throne and God's the creator of the universe? But every single piece, every molecule of water is of God. Every little bit of oil is of God. This little cherry, this fake cherry is of, it's a beautiful cherry, but this fake cherry is of God. Every little piece of everything is of God. We are of God. John, 1 John 4 and 4 says, ye are of God, little children. You are of God, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God. You are of God. We are not, or he is not limited by what science says. He's not limited about what we think. He is on the throne. So we are all of God. And so the scripture that we read is Romans 11, 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. All things. And it is, since we are of God, it is through God alone that we are saved. God alone saves. We are through God and we are saved through God. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Our salvation comes through God. We are of God, and salvation comes through God. Just as Jesus came as the atonement for your sins, so that through his sacrifice at the cross, his blood would be shed and applied to your sins and provide a covering for you so that you can experience an eternity with him. He did that through the cross and through his crucifixion. We shouldn't even be here today. You shouldn't even be here today. I shouldn't even be here today if not through God's grace. Amen. Amen. That excites me. I get, from time to time, I'm just going to put the mic up and I don't know what I'm going to do. But that just excites me to know. God is offering salvation. We are not worthy of it. I am not worthy. You are not worthy of what you do on the cross. But through that act, through one act, no other act in human history could provide salvation, provide atonement. Nothing else that nobody else would ever do would open up an opportunity for eternal salvation. But God did that for you. And because he did that, you have the opportunity and the ability to be eternal salvation through his sacrifice. Through what he did on the cross. Through what he did. Through his sacrifice. Thinking about that. That just gets me so excited. I'm just excited. I'm excited that he did that for me. I don't deserve it, but by his grace, he did it, and through him, we can receive salvation. John 20, verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He did that so you could have life through his name. He came so you could have life through his name. He did it. He did it. He did it. And it's only by God we can receive salvation. It's not by me. It's not by Brother Tom. It's not by Brother Davis. It's not by anybody speaking into a microphone. It is only through God you receive salvation. It's not through the musicians that are singing a song. It's not through somebody praying with you in the altar. It is through the Almighty God that we can receive salvation. He and he alone provides salvation. Only God. only God. The famous theologian, Charles Spurgeon, he penned this in reference to all things coming through God. And this is what he said, and I'm going to read it word for word. It says, when the preacher has achieved his usefulness, he knows that all his success comes through God. If a man shall suppose himself capable of stirring up a revival or encouraging even one saint or leading one sinner to repentance, he is a fool. As well might we attempt to move the stars or shake the world or grasp the lightning flash in the hollow of our hand as think to save a soul or even to quicken saints out of their lethargy. Spiritual work must be done by the Spirit. Through God, every good thing comes to us. The preacher may be a Samson when God is with him, but he shall be like Samson when God is not with him, only in Samson's degradation and shame. Beloved, there was never a man brought to God except through God, and there never will be. Beloved, it is through God that every single good thing comes, and I am sure it is him. We cannot take the honor of a single convert, but we do look with thankfulness upon this growing church, but we can give glory alone to him. It is only through God that people can receive salvation. It is only through God that we are going to see a revival in this church. It is only through God that when that loved one, that his name or her name is in this jar, comes through these doors and comes to an altar, it is only through God that they're going to receive mercy and forgiveness and salvation. It won't be because of my sermon. It won't be because of their singing. It will be because God drew them and because God forgave them and because God offered salvation. Our salvation is through God. It's through God. It's through God, only through God. Lest we think that I am something, lest we exalt ourselves, lest we place ourselves on a pedestal. I am just a man, but I am a tool that wants to be used by God so he can work through me and see lives changed. God will receive the credit. God will get every person, everything that happens in this church will be because of God, and he will receive all the credit. We will be thankful, we will celebrate it, but we will not take any credit because it will only be by the grace of God and through his power that we will see lives changed in this church. Amen. Does the sword get credit for winning a battle? No, it's the soldier that wielded it. Does a pen get accolades after it writes a famous novel? No, it's the author that gets all the credit. Does a microphone get credit once a famous singer or a wonderful singer finishes their song? No, it's not. It's the singer that gets the credit. We don't get any credit. We don't deserve any credit. We shouldn't desire any credit. It is God using us. It is God working through us. It is God anointing us. The microphone doesn't say to the sword, I wish I was a sword. I should be used in battle. The pen doesn't say, well, I would be better. Some of us have probably sang into a pen before, but if you notice, you can't hear your voice as well when you use the pen. If I got up here, but it's not quite as effective. But if I easily transition, you can hear me much better. But likewise, I'm going to continue on with this analogy, so stick with me. Very effective using it in that purpose. But the sword doesn't get upset because he isn't being used to write a novel. The microphone isn't upset because he's not going into battle, because those tools know that they are for a higher purpose. The sword's job is to be sharp. The microphone's job is to have batteries. The pen's job is to have ink. If the pen can't do its job, the author will look for another pen. If the sword's not sharp enough, the soldier will find another sword. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready to be used by God. We need to sharpen ourselves. We need to have full batteries, full ink, whatever analogy you want to go with that sticks with you. You got to be ready to be used by God, because God will use you and it will work through you to reach to somebody. Amen. Amen. He wants to use us. Through us, he will bring revival. Through him, we will see our families brought back together. Through him, we'll see souls saved. Of him, through him, and to him. To God are all things. All things belong to God. Everything belongs to him. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 16 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Not only were all things created by him, all things were created for him. He created you and I specifically for him. All things were created for him, and he has a very special reason for you. And I'm going to tell you what that reason is. It's revealed to us in Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Do you want to know the meaning of life? I have a secret. I have a revelation for you. What is the meaning of life? It's found in that scripture. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. Do you want to know what you are called to do? You're trying to figure out your job, your marriage, your family. You're trying to figure out your future. Do you want to know what you were called to do? You were called, for thy pleasure, they are and were created. You were called and you were created for God's pleasure. That's the only reason you are here. That's the only reason we exist. We exist to give God pleasure. We exist to lift him up. We exist to glorify the name of God. We weren't created to worry about problems. Some of you think worrying about problems should be your full-time job. You're so good at it, you have a PhD in worrying about problems. You could teach sessions and you could go on a circuit, you could go on a tour teaching sessions about worrying about your problems. Some of you think that you were created to focus on your issues. You were created specifically to look at your problems, but you weren't created for that. You were created specifically for the pleasure of the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. That's why you were created. That's why you're here. That's why we are here. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Everything in creation testifies of the Creator. Every single bit, every single thing, everything turns all of creation's eye towards its Creator. He did not make the world first and foremost for you. If you were like me as a child, you've heard many times the world does not revolve around you. I probably need to hear that a few more times. Babe, you have permission. But he did not make the world first and foremost for you. He made the cosmos to bring him glory, from the sun, from the stars, to you and I. Our chief goal and our highest aim, the best that we ever could do, the most accomplished that we ever could become, is if we reflected the glory of our Creator and we offered praise to him. It may not look like a lot to the world. You might not have any money in the bank. You might be wearing hand-me-downs of hand-me-downs. You might not have anything good. You might have to walk to church. You might just be so bad from the outside. But if you fulfill what God has called you to do for the pleasure of the King, then when you enter into eternity, all that those rags, the ugliness, the hardships, it's just going to fade away, and you're going to be in the presence of the Almighty God. That's what our creation, or that's what our Creator would desire for us. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, and I have made him." I have created him for my glory. I have a word for somebody that's facing a life decision and they don't know what to do. You're created to give him glory. That's the answer. But what do I go to school here, or do I get this job here, or do I move away here? The answer is you're created to give God glory. Well, that doesn't really help me right now. I need a decision. I get A or B. Yeah, but you're just created to give him glory. Yeah, but this is a big financial thing. I have to make this decision today. Yeah, but the only thing you were created for was not to make that financial decision. What you were created for was to give him glory. That's the only reason we are here. If you can give God glory first, I promise you that financial decision will work out. That career decision will work out. That family issue will work out. If we would just make up in our mind that the only reason I'm here, the only reason God created you was to give Him glory. The only purpose you have is to give God glory. The only reason you are here is to give Him glory. That's why we're created. That's why we come to church on a Sunday. That's why we sing songs. That's why we visit. That's why we fellowship. All of it's good. Worship's good. The fellowship is good. But if we don't give God glory, we aren't accomplishing the thing He designed us to do. We could come here, we could sing songs, we could shake hands, we could hug necks, we could put a few dollars in the offering plate, and we could leave, and we could miss why we came. If we did not give God glory, it's going to be a sad day if we wasted our life seeking selfish pursuits, but we never gave God glory. We were created to give God glory. That should lift a burden off our shoulders. We shouldn't have to worry about the expectations that we place on ourselves, the expectations that our family places on you, the expectations that society places on you. The only thing we got to concern ourselves with is giving the Almighty God, the one who created you, the one who breathed life into you, the glory that He deserves. Once you fulfill that ultimate design of worshiping the Savior, then everything falls into place. Our opening text this morning, and I'll read it again. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, this text, this whole passage, you could just swim in. You could just lay in. You could just, if you don't know what else to read, there's a billion passages in the Bible to read from that will encourage you. But just read this passage and just know the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? I love that. Who has counseled God? Who has spoken into God's mind? Who has given God a word? Nobody. Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything that has ever existed, every single person, from Adam and Eve to us today, every small, insignificant ant, every ant that you've seen that you stepped on and you heard it crunch because it was one of those big ants and then you felt a little bad about, every single ant, every piece of sand in the sea, every droplet in just this arbitrary random bottle of water, we could throw it away and no one would miss this little 8-ounce bottle of water. But God created that. Every single thing is of God. Every breath that you take, you're breathing in God. Every light that's turned on, that's light from God. Everything you touch is from God. Every smell you smell, you understand that everything is of God. Everything is of God. The heat that you feel when you walk into the church is of God. The cold that you feel when you walk out is of God. Everything. God is everything. Everything is of God. And I don't know why, but that encourages me. It just, these old pews, these beautiful curved pews, these pews built specifically for this church are of God. These Christmas trees, this flag, I could point at everything in the room. Go on, move on, Titus, we understand. But still, sometimes you just need to get lost and realizing the magnitude of who God is. To realize that everything is of God. And so if everything is of God, then that huge problem you have looks pretty small in the eyes of the Creator of the universe. That huge issue that has overtaken you and you feel like you're collapsing and the weight is on your shoulders, just realize it's so small in the presence of God. And since everything is of him, he chose to come to earth. He wasn't forced. He wasn't tricked or convinced. He chose to come to earth as Jesus Christ so that through him we could receive salvation. Through him we could come to a place and fall on our knees and receive his grace and his mercy and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Through his Holy Ghost we could see miracles, signs, and wonders. Through him lives can be changed. Through him families can come back. Through him children can be saved. Through Jesus are all things. And since we are of him and receive salvation through him, that means all the praise and all the glory and all the honor belongs to him. If we're of him, if we receive salvation through him, then all praise belongs to him. All glory belongs to him. All honor belongs to him. If we could all stand as we close. I came to remind somebody, or perhaps even inform somebody, that while you may believe life is spinning out of control, you may believe that it's off kilter and it's nowhere close to what it should be. God says in Isaiah 43:21, "This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise." He's telling us that I formed you for myself, and not only did I form you for myself, I formed you so that you could show forth my praise. You are of God. You may not feel like you're of anything. You may feel like you're of sin, of hurt, of pain, of brokenness. But 1 John 4:4, I read it earlier, says, you are of God, little child. You are of God. God's saying you are of me. You are my family. My name is upon you. You are of me. You belong to me. You are with me, and if you're with God, if you're of God, that means God is with you, and he will protect you, and he will be with you. Person, man, woman, child, you are loved of God. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but I feel in my spirit somebody just needs to hear you are loved of God. You are loved of God. And as we close this service, I'm going to give us all an opportunity to fulfill the very reason that you were created. Young person today, young adult, we have a few here in this place today. I'm going to give you a tip for the rest of your life. I know you're facing college, or maybe you're facing school or relationships. You're trying to figure everything out, but you weren't created for a job. You weren't created for a relationship. You weren't created for a family. You weren't created for money. You weren't created for success. You were created to give God glory. The only thing that you were created for was to give God glory. The only thing you were created for was to give God praise. He didn't design you for a big fancy house and $1 million in the bank. That's not why he made you. I hope all of that happens to you. I hope he blesses you for that. But if he doesn't, you shouldn't be upset, because that's not why we were created. We were created to give him glory. The very reason we exist is Revelations 4:11, like we read, "Thy pleasure they are and were created." We will only fulfill our purpose when we realize that our goal, our purpose, our reason for being was to worship him. That's the only reason. The only reason we were created. We're uniquely designed to give God's praise. God created animals. He created plants. He created other creatures and beings, and they will show forth God's praise in their own way. But he uniquely designed us with the ability to praise him, the ability to willingly make a choice and lift him up. He created all those other things, and they will give him glory. But we are the only thing that has the option and has the choice to give God glory. So as we close this service today, I'm going to open up the altar, and I'm going to invite you to come, and I'm going to invite you to find a place to just do what you were created to do today. just focus upon today. And that's just giving God glory today. That's just showing forth praise today. I'm inviting you to come. I'm not telling you to run and jump and do backflips. I'm just saying find a place and fulfill what you were created to do. That was to give praises to Him today. Come on, why don't you do for one time in your life? It may be the first time, but do what you were designed to do. Do what you are uniquely created to do. And that's to give God glory. That's to lift Him up. That's to give Him praise. Come on, it'll feel right once you start doing what you were created to do. It'll make sense. Your whole life hasn't made sense. But once you turn to Him, this is the only thing that makes sense, because this is the only thing you were created to do. God, we lift you up. God, we praise you right now. God, we praise you. God, we praise you, Jesus. God, oh, we worship you. God, pour out your Spirit right now. I pray in the Holy Ghost, Jesus. God, that we would do what we were designed to do. God, that you would work. God, that you would move. God, that you would minister. God, help us. Help us to do what we were designed to do. God, whatever that looks like. Whatever that feels like. God, we're giving you praise today. God, inhabit our praise. Inhabit our praise in this place. Come on, do what you were designed to do. Come on. For 30 seconds, why don't you give God glory? Why don't you just focus upon what He's done? Focus upon how He's blessed you. Focus upon Him high upon the throne. Just begin to call upon His name. He hears you. He sees you. He loves you. Said it during offering or during a part of the service announcements perhaps, but we are really going to go to a place where we are really going to praise him forever and ever and ever. I don't know what that looks like. I don't understand it. It's beyond me really, but I just know that God said it in his word. I do believe that his word is true. I do believe that it will take place. And so I think once we get there, it'll be easy to. I think we're here now, it does get a little harder. There are distractions. There are real things that we face. And I'm not trying to belittle anything that you guys face tomorrow. And I never would want to belittle any life decision that you have to make. But I'm just saying, in comparison of giving our Creator glory, those things are so small. They're so insignificant.
Yes.
They're so minor. You think this is a big financial thing. I'm not that old, but in my short lifetime, we've had 25 huge financial things that there's no way we're going to get through it. There's no way. And look, we're still here. We'll face one next year, whatever it'll look like. There's no way we can get through it. We're still here. All those big things in your life that it was going to take you down, it was going to take you out, you're still here. You're still here. You'll still get through it. Our goal is to give him praise. And we're thankful for it. So why don't we, just as we close, let's just lift up our hands and let's thank him for his word today. God, we thank you, Lord, God, that we are of you. God, that we are your people. Everything is of you. You've created it all, God, and then through you we receive salvation. God, and we give you praise for it. We return it back to you, because you alone are worthy. You alone are holy, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to serve this great kingdom, this great church, this great city, God. Help us, Jesus. God, work through us to reach Sandwich. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Shake someone's hand. Hug someone's neck. Make sure you greet Brother Ray if you hadn't had a chance to do that. And you are dismissed today. Thank you.
I was like, I love the check. I was like, is this too much? I was like, oh, I like it. I was like, okay, good, because I like it too.